it's critical for not only professional growth, but feeling like you're able to grow on a personal level as well, allowing yourself to say yes when sometimes it's really scary to say yes, and allowing yourself and encouraging yourself to just do it even when it's scary, whatever that next step is, just taking that leap, taking that chance, and allowing the connections that you've built to sort of lead you down a path that might not be comfortable, and it'll allow you to stretch. And that's exciting. I think that that's sort of the lust for life mentality that I've used along the way, and hopefully will encourage other people to do the same.
In the midst of constant commotion in the healthcare industry, one unified voice rises above the rest, a beacon bent on banishing biofilm. They are sterile processing professionals who clean and sterilize their way to improved outcomes, and their patient safety victories often go unseen. This is Beyond Clean, the central nexus for the people, processes, and products that are pushing the sterile processing industry forward. Join us every week as we give voice to that global force, fighting dirty all around the world. It's time to go beyond clean.
This week on Beyond Clean, we speak with Lindsay Brown, VP of Sales and Marketing for Beyond Clean. She is a certified registered central service technician and a certified flexible endoscope reprocessor through CBSPD. Lindsay has been an active part of the sterile processing industry as a speaker at medical facilities and educational seminars around the United States and Canada, and has educated healthcare personnel on both fundamental and progressive industry topics. Lindsay was a contributing writer for the Certified Endoscope Reprocessing Technician Manual through ISHM. She is a member of ISHM and AORN and was named 2014 Educator of the Year by the Golden West Central Service and Healthcare Chapter, and 2015 Vendor of the Year by the California Central Service Association. And as we talk, Mike, about progressive industry topics, today is a great example as we wrap up season six of Beyond Clean. And I can't even believe we've had this many episodes, but I also can't even believe that Lindsay Brown is now on the team. So this is going to be a good one, because we're going to talk about a lot of career development topics today.
Absolutely. You know, Lindsay has been on the show before, and her episode was one of our highest downloaded episodes because it was intensely practical. You know, it spoke to the things that sterile processing technicians deal with every single day. And I think that this is going to be the case for this one as well. You know, for any sterile processing technician who is listening to this show, I'm guessing that the reason why you're listening to this show is that you want to do more. You want to grow. You want to be better. And I think that Lindsay is a perfect person to listen to, talk about strategies and some pitfalls to avoid as we think about that career path and how we move up it.
Yeah, I know we've never really come right out and said it, but being inspirational is an interesting parallel goal for the podcast. Number one is to educate. But honestly, for people to take that information and do anything with it, you have to inspire them, especially if they're going to be listening to this on their own time or anytime that they go to a regional conference or seminar. That's all on their own time. So as you said, Mike, anybody who's going to listen to this or go to one of those conferences, it's all about professional growth. And that's really what we're going to hone in on today with Lindsay. So I'm really excited to get into it.
HealthMark has intelligent solutions for your cleaning verification program, including products to measure water temperature, water quality, cleaning efficacy, and to directly test for residual soil left on instruments. Find your tools for cleaning verification at hmark.com. There you will learn about our TOSI and SonoCheck that test the performance of mechanical washers as recommended in sterilization standards guidelines. Other products like CartWash Check test for mechanical efficiency and target temperature. The ProCheck 2 can detect residual protein to a very low level. Go to hmark.com today for all of your cleaning verification testing needs.
It's 2023 and there's big news for IST. A closed warning letter, a new product launch, and a 10-year anniversary. OneTray IST has a lot to celebrate this year. OneTray's 2006 cleared 48-hour storage claim was acknowledged by the FDA, and the company is pushing forward, offering the total solution for reprocessing. OneTray maximizes reprocessing time. EasyTrax adds flexibility with instrument organization, and their upcoming product, OneCart, a sealed case cart with a smaller footprint and a perfect option for offsite sterilization, completes the total solution. Experience a year of efficiency with OneTray. For more information on the closure of the warning letter, visit OneTray.com/FDA warning letter. That's OneTray.com/FDA warning letter. Otherwise, you can reach out to the company by calling 937-619-0138 or visit OneTray.com/contact.
You're listening to Beyond Clean, the global voice of sterile processing.
Joining us now is Lindsay Brown, VP of Sales and Marketing for Beyond Clean. Lindsay, welcome not only to the podcast, but to the team, and we're very happy to have you on board.
Thank you so much. I'm absolutely thrilled.
One of the things that we're really interested in talking to you today about is really your career and your career development. And you've held a number of high profile roles, but definitely roles that have helped increase everybody's sort of knowledge and awareness around sterile processing. And you've had an educational facet, but you've also had a sales facet. And I think there are a lot of sterile processing professionals out there that maybe really only see their career path in one direction. And I think it'll be great to expose them to a lot of different ways that they can take their career and their experience. Because the truth is, in this industry, there's just not necessarily enough talent to meet the need, really, to drive patient safety.
What's interesting about that statement is we hear a lot, especially as of late, that the talent pipeline is starved, or it's drying up, or there's lack of talent to fill these roles. But I think one of the things that you said that is key to remember is the fact that a lot of people do consider their career sort of as a one-dimensional thing, and they don't look outside of the path that they're currently set on to see what else is out there for them. And I think my story specifically allows people to sort of think outside that box, be creative about where they take themselves.
You know, that's a really good point, because I think that's a big difference between generations in terms of how, you know, we look at, you know, longevity in a position. You know, I think most people who came from my parents' generation, for example, oftentimes worked at the same position in the same company for, you know, 10, 15, 20 years. And then, you know, younger people like us, we're finding that it's much easier to move around, move up by moving around. So, you know, you may have changed positions 3, 4, or 5 times in as many years, because that's what it takes to climb that ladder. And so I kind of bridging into that is, I wanted to get your take on, you know, using your professional network to grow your career opportunities. And this is a really big deal for a lot of people, because sterile processing technicians by nature are, you know, kind of hidden out of the way. You know, I would definitely consider myself an introvert. So building a professional network is not the most natural thing in the world, but it's critical to gaining a career opportunity.
It really is. It's critical for not only professional growth, but feeling like you're able to grow on a personal level as well. Allowing yourself to say yes when sometimes it's really scary to say yes, and allowing yourself and encouraging yourself to just do it even when it's scary, whatever the do it might be, whatever that next step is, just taking that leap, taking that chance, and allowing the connections that you've built to sort of lead you down a path that might not be comfortable, but it will grow and it'll allow you to stretch. And that's exciting. I think that that's sort of the lust for life mentality that I've used along the way, and hopefully will encourage other people to do the same.
So what are some great ways that you built your network, and maybe some ways that you haven't built your network because you've already kind of gotten past that stage. Maybe give some strategies.
Yeah. Well, it kind of starts at the beginning. My commitment to the sterile processing industry was sort of born out of this trust that the owner, and I'm going to make a plug here, the owner of Key Surgical had in me as a person. He trusted me to be on the sales team and allowed me the opportunity to see where it took me. And one of the things that I did with that is not only did I want to prove myself because, you know, it's a new industry and because it was a new role, but I learned very quickly the depth of what my position had and the impact that it could have on this industry that I had no idea about prior to this. So one of the things that I've learned really quickly is that everyone, not everyone, but a lot of people in the sterile processing industry happened upon this industry almost by accident, or they were introduced to it by someone else, or they were introduced to it because of a need that arose in the department and they came from another department. No one, and I don't remember what speaker I listened to at a seminar who said this, but no one grew up as a small child and said, you know what I want to be when I grow up? I want to be in sterile processing. That's just not something that's top of mind. And it's not a career choice that a lot of people know about until they're well into their professional career, or they're looking for something else, what have you. So my commitment, like I said, to the sterile processing industry was born out of that trust in me to do something new that I had no idea about. And I really just wanted to take it and run with it. So the people, the products at Key Surgical, how they treat their customers, how they treat their employees and the community in which they operate, I have a certain level of ethos that will always be tied to that. And that has sort of fueled me and encouraged me to keep going, keep moving forward. One of the things that I had the incredible opportunity to do was take an education program and sort of build it and run with it. And something that I learned very quickly in that regard is that education in this industry specifically is evolving from this sort of slow-paced didactic teaching style into a landscape that's riddled with the expectation that people and companies and products, et cetera, are going to fight for your attention. And that's not just an expectation. It's actually a reality. These companies are fighting for our attention, and they're taking advantage of people's micro moments, standing in line at the coffee shop or driving to work or on your lunch break. Or if you're me, the couple of free minutes I can squeeze between my kids yelling, mommy, my leg, kiss it, whatever it may be. There are companies that are trying to sell me something or trying to teach me something. And there are moments of learning and opportunities to learn something new in those small amounts of time. Now, one of the things about being human these days is in the present tense, being human means being a multitasker. It means you have to do it all and try to do it perfectly. And that's where I think this idea of, and we'll get into this a little bit later, I think, but this idea of imposter syndrome can set in.
Ooh, I can't wait to get into imposter syndrome. Maybe this is the antidote to imposter syndrome. But one of the things you talked about was there's all this learning that can happen, you know, from vendors and from industry leaders. And you even said, I think I've seen, you know, a speaker who said, nobody ever woke up in the morning one day and said, I think I'm going to do sterile processing. But I will say this, almost every single speaker who's gotten onto a national stage has at least thought that if they haven't said it.
And that's true.
Because it's such an underrated industry, and that makes it incumbent upon all of us when we do educate to instill passion, because nobody in this industry is successful without passion. Maybe right. Someday when there's a different paradigm in the industry, that would change, because we see lots of other industries that lack passion that have great deals of success. And maybe some of that is maybe data driven. Some of that is educationally driven. Some of that is, you know, executing a very well-established plan. And while we all like to think that sterile processing has a very clear, direct set of instructions, at the end of the day, to get through it, you really have to have the passion, because challenges are going to be thrown at you, and you're going to have to make critical decisions that don't have a clear answer. You're going to be asked to do things that you probably shouldn't do. And so now you're going to have to think about How are you going to handle that politically? And nobody is ready for that when they first get into the industry.
Right.
So as an educator, you can't just come in one day and start delivering some base level knowledge without the passion. It's critical. And so I want to get to the kind of the second part of this, but I can hear your passion. And I know that's a big reason why we wanted you on the Beyond Clean team. And I just thought maybe you could emphasize the importance of the passion and maybe instill some into others as they go through their day to day.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, one of the things too, and I'll get, I realize I sort of had a tangential journey off of your topic of networking. But as far as passion is concerned, I think one of the best ways to keep it, especially when things get hard, especially when you're faced with the challenges that you ask yourself, wow, do I want to wake up tomorrow and deal with something similar to this, is reminding yourself why you came here in the first place or how you got here in the first place. And I think having a network of people who are just as passionate, who know more than you, who every time you speak to them, every time you interact with them, you learn something new, you learn a different area of interest or different area of expertise that you didn't know before. I think that's a critical component to keeping that passion, building the passion, but also making sure that you're cognizant of your own journey, your own path forward in whatever industry you're in, especially in sterile processing. I'm also a sterile processing technician. And so the day to day, I completely understand. And I get that sometimes you slog through the day and you do what you need to do. And it's hard to remember that, yes, I still have passion for this when you're sitting there, you know, going through every single instrument and testing the sharpness and making sure there are no defects. It's hard to imagine yourself being passionate about tasks like that, but taking the moment to take a step back and give yourself space to remember why those little details matter. That's what I've always tried to do for people that I've talked to in this industry, when I've communicated with them, when I've tried to get them fired up about those types of tasks, which is not an easy thing to do. Let's be honest. My whole strategy and my whole goal is to continually push and remind people of the bigger picture, which is really hard to see sometimes.
So that's a really great point, because the first step is to sort of build your network. The second step is to inject passion. And nobody, I think it's really interesting, because I do know that we're setting the table for this imposter syndrome really beautifully. And it's going to be a nice wrap to the whole interview. But the idea of building a network, injecting that passion, but then at the same time, you need to have a bigger impact. I mean, if you really have vision and you really have that passion, and now you have people to build sort of that energy and that momentum with, now you have to leverage it. And you have to leverage it to gain a bigger stage and a bigger audience, because it's not going to be just Beyond Clean. It's not just going to be Mike Matthews. It's not going to just be Lindsay Brown. It's not just going to be Hank Balch and Bob Mars. It's not going to be just Chuck Hughes. It's not just going to be Peter Nichol. It's going to take really what we have in this industry, and we're going to have to put it to like the sixth exponential power to be able to really lift this industry up. Correct?
Correct. Yeah. One of the things too that I constantly keep top of mind is the fact that not everyone in this industry has someone who they can turn to in a mentorship role. Not everyone has someone who they can turn to when things get tough, or when they have questions, or when they... Not everyone has that person. And so that's one of the things that I want to really kind of hit home about the networking thing, is one of the easiest, fastest, cheapest, but honestly the most invaluable thing that someone can do professionally is find a mentor. If you don't have a mentor right now, tomorrow when you wake up, think of the person who's been most influential in your life and reach out to them, especially professionally speaking, because that's the perfect way to grow your career, to grow your knowledge, and to not get stagnant. So the only thing that you have to lose in reaching out to someone, even if they don't even know who you are, even if they, you know, if they don't know who you are yet, they will if you reach out to them, but they won't if you don't. So that's hopefully some encouragement to just kind of take that leap.
Yeah, and that's perfect, because I mean, that's something that we even offer here through Beyond Clean is a virtual mentorship. And the primary driver for that was just the simple fact that there is a lack of good mentors that are available, you know, for people who are new managers or technicians who are looking to move up. They say, you know, that I want this to be my career. You know, there's a real lack of ability to, you know, network with leaders who are established in the industry and say, teach me, you know, beyond what is in the book. You know, what can I learn that's not inside, you know, the Isham manual? You know, what are those soft skills that I need to learn how to deal with, you know, conflict or moving up in, you know, my knowledge base? All those sorts of things. Those are things that, you know, like you said, you really have to have that mentor in your life who can, you know, guide you along and help you find those things. And that's why we offer that service by all means. You know, and again, this goes back to networking. I think we don't want to lose track of where we are just as, you know, as an industry. The fact that we have this amazing tool at our disposal that no one has ever had before called social media. And it's got some bad sides, but it definitely has some good sides, because prior to this, your social network was probably your local department, or maybe within, you know, your local area, you know, network for your associational meetings or something like that. But, you know, you can reach across the country to find people that inspire you, that you can look up to, and you can learn so much from. So again, I completely agree. Mentorship is critical for personal growth. Lindsay, I wanted to ask you about one of the things that we've talked about before that I really think that a lot of people would benefit from is discussing how to find and kind of capitalize on your own personal strengths. You know, as you know, everybody has strengths and weaknesses, and I think we tend to be oftentimes cognizant of our weaknesses. And so it can be incredibly valuable to know what your strengths are and then capitalize on them. Can you talk to that for just a little bit?
I can. Yeah. I think one of the best ways to sort of start your forward trajectory on whatever career path you're choosing is to, first of all, figure out what it is that you want to do. Basically, making a realistic assessment of your abilities is where you need to start. So one of the things that I found really, really helpful, and there are a lot of tools, a lot of resources that do exist. And I know actually 2019, this past Isham conference, the annual conference, they held their first ever Strengths Finder workshop. It was part of a prepaid pre-conference session. And it really allowed sterile processing professionals who attended the conference and attended the pre-conference activities to not just take in the technical skills and learn about the technical skills and how to improve on those, but really kind of take a wider look and a deeper look at who they are as people and what they're good at. And also, when they figure out their strengths, what are some shadow sides of those strengths? And I'm speaking in terms of the Gallup Clifton Strengths Finder. One of the coolest things that I've actually been through is learning what my strengths are, because one of the things that I can do at the end of the day is say, okay, this is what I'm good at. This is what I know I can work with. Okay. Even on the toughest days, I know that this is what I'm good at. And I know that this is what I have to work with. But one of the greatest parts about the exercise that I went through was learning that because I do have adaptability as a strength, I can be in the now. I can take things as they come. I can discover what the future holds one day at a time. And that's great. But there are also some shadow sides to that as well. For example, some folks who are super adaptable and live in the now can be very unfocused and have no plans. So I have to be cognizant of what it means to have those types of strengths in both the positive and the negative. Another one is positivity. I'm sure that you guys are well aware that I'm fairly upbeat. That's not news to anybody. But being upbeat can also come off as being fairly naive and thinking that everything is beautiful. Let's say you're in a really hard situation and someone's confiding in you and you're saying, oh, it's going to be fine. You're going to get through this. there's a light at the end of the tunnel. And really what they're hearing is that you're not taking in the pain that they're feeling or the tough situation that they're in, and you're sort of just bypassing that to get to the flowery stuff. And so I think that that's one of the really cool things about going through these types of assessments is you get to learn exactly what skills you have and what strengths you have, but you also get to know sort of what you should look out for and what you can improve upon and the opportunities that exist to keep growing and not just say, yep, I'm good at that, I can move on, but really kind of take a deep dive into what that means for you as an individual.
Well, we never really attain some level of achievement and never have to improve, right? And I think one of the things that you described, you know, about being able to just kind of have this self-awareness and this self-assessment, hopefully, resultingly, you'll be able to communicate what your needs are. And this is a big part of it. What you want and becoming self-aware of what you want and what you need is one thing, but there's a whole other level of being able to communicate that, not only personally, but professional. And if you're not good at communicating what your needs and wants and maybe what your career path is, you're going to have a very hard time getting there because nobody else is going to figure it out for you. And really what they need you to do is decode it. And be very direct about this is what I want and this is how I see myself getting there. And now I want feedback from you. Am I off the mark a little bit or can you help me like change my plan so that I can be more successful? But it's almost like without that self-awareness, you could never communicate it. And if you don't communicate it, you're not going to get what you want. Can you talk about how critical that interpersonal communication, but specifically around where you're trying to go, how important that is for your professional growth?
Well, listen, one of the things that I've come to know is that I love interacting with human beings. I love getting to know them. I love extending empathy and I love extending trust. And I'm never going to underestimate the power of doing so. And I think part of that comes with the interpersonal communication conversation in that we need to understand that everybody has filters and blinders on based on their past experience. But everyone is the architect of their own future. They just have to be confident and persistent about it. And if my communication style can lend a hand or lend some words of encouragement, that's something that I'm going to try to do over and again. One of the things too is to understand that when you are communicating with other people, especially in sterile processing, actually, especially in general, nobody wears a sign. Nobody has anything written that says, hey, I had a crap morning and I'm having a really bad day. So just cool it for a second. Nobody has that. And so we all have to just understand that the human experience is different for everyone and that communication with each other comes with not only getting to know one another, but also being sensitive and cognizant to the fact that we're all writing our own stories and we're just trying to see where life can take us. And if we hitch our wagons to the right people and to the mentors that we find, we can get that much farther.
Now, Lindsay, I want to talk about something that we've already kind of alluded to previously, and that's imposter syndrome. And I know for our listening audience, there's probably a lot of people who have never heard that term before. Right. You know, and honestly, I had never heard of it until about 2 years ago, maybe, which is right about the time that my career started taking off. And as soon as I read up on what it was, I immediately said, oh, well, yeah, that's exactly how I feel all the time. So, and I have a feeling that as you know, we describe what this is, there's going to be an awful lot of people who hear this and say, yep, I know exactly what that feels like. So can you just describe for us what is imposter syndrome and how can it derail, you know, a career advancement?
Yes, absolutely. Well, imposter syndrome was actually first described by two psychologists back in the 70s. Their last names were Clancy and Imes. And what it is it's a phenomenon that typically occurs among high achievers who are basically unable to internalize and accept their success. So they often look at their accomplishments and they think, oh gosh, I just got lucky, rather than, you know, paying attention to the fact that they have the skills and the abilities to get to where they need to go. And there's a lot of fear that comes with that, fear that others will eventually unmask their ostensible fraudulence. For example, like they're going to call you out and say, hey, you don't deserve this, or you shouldn't be here. You're not where you're supposed to be. And there's an element of fear that you exist in. When I started my career in this industry, I started with zero knowledge of sterile processing and I came into a sales role and I thought to myself, oh my gosh, what am I doing? I need to throw myself into this and learn about it so I can be the best possible salesperson that I can be. And then that transitioned into an education role. And I was like, well, crap, how do I do this? I'm not a sterile processing technician. I don't have a certification. And so I became a technician and I got my certification, my CRCST certification. And then it just kept transition after transition from there. But these moments creep in. And for those of you who've never heard of imposter syndrome, it's not necessarily something that you have. So it's not an official diagnosis. It's not in the DSM. Psychologists acknowledge that it's a real specific form of self-doubt. So it's something that you experience. It's not something that you have. So anyone can experience imposter syndrome throughout any given day. When they enter a new situation or a new career opportunity, that feeling can creep in like, oh my gosh, I don't think I have what it takes to be here. So it manifests itself in two very fascinating ways. It can manifest itself in perfectionism, and it can manifest itself in procrastination, which is really funny to me because there were times in my life where I was like, oh my gosh, I don't know how to do this project. How am I going to deliver the best possible thing? You know, the best outcome to this project. And so I procrastinate and I just have this fear. It's almost like fight or flight where I just, I freeze. And that's a new term that I actually recently heard is fight, flight, or freeze instead of just fight or flight. But that freeze is kind of what comes with the imposter syndrome, where you're just unable to move forward because you don't want anyone to think you don't deserve what you have. And I think the part of the reason why there exists self-doubt and there exists sort of lack of knowledge of upward mobility in the sterile processing industry is just that self-doubt that can creep in, like, oh, I'm just a tech, or I'm just a supervisor. When in reality, you should say to yourself, I'm a sterile processing tech. Look at all of the skills that I have. Look at the knowledge. Look at everything that I've done to prove myself in this role. I deserve the next role. Let's work really hard. I'm going to work really hard to show myself that I can do this and take that next step. So there are some specific things that you can put in place and sort of not trick your mind into into anything, but just remind yourself that you are worth it and you have the capability and the wherewithal to make some positive change for yourself from a career perspective.
I always try to tell people, no matter what role they come in, and I've been on multiple different sides, healthcare, on the actual provider side, and I've been on the vendor side, but I always try to tell people, you have to understand that based on your role that you have, you're an expert. And so one thing that this is doing is it's undermining the fact that you have expertise. And right. As we talk about bring your passion, build your network, and part of leveraging your network can be something as very simple as just working within your organization. And a lot of times, sterile processing professionals may be intimidated by the OR, but I promise you that you are an expert in cleaning and sterilization, mm-hmm. in a way that most of your counterparts in surgical services in the operating room are not aware. And right. It's actually your job to educate them. You may not always find somebody who is receptive to education. You may not always find somebody who is receptive to change. This is where the personal and professional growth part happens, is how do you tailor that interpersonal communication, as we've talked mm-hmm. about. How do you tailor the messaging to them to have a greater impact? But at the end of the day, if you build this foundation of having those relationships and having that passion and that positivity towards good growth and change, at some point you're going to be able to adjust the way that you approach others to have that really positive impact. Somewhere along the line, and I've always said this, as you begin to move outside of your comfort zone, you break. And mm-hmm. one of the ways that you could break to then become a better professional is you could break with this imposter syndrome. Right. I think one of the things that we can give everybody as we're kind of ending this interview that would be greatly helpful is how do we get them through that faster, so that mm-hmm. they can then move on and get on with making the world a better place. So right. Do you have any strategies for tackling imposter syndrome?
There are really three very simple things that can really help when those feelings of self-doubt do set in. And they're not quick fixes necessarily, but there's certainly tactics and strategies that you can put in place to help avoid those feelings from setting in for the long term. And the first one, we've mentioned it a lot, is to find a mentor. The single most helpful thing you can do for yourself professionally, I'm going to say it over and over again, is find that someone who you can turn to when you have those feelings of self-doubt, or when you're thinking about that promotion that you want to get, or when you're thinking about that job switch. Maybe it's to a different facility. Maybe it's within your department. Maybe it's something where you're like, oh gosh, I don't know that I have the skills or the knowledge to fill that role. Your mentor is someone who you can turn to say, what can I do to make sure that I'm confident in my abilities? What are the things that I can work on based on how well you know me, or based on the assessment that you've done of me so far? And really play on that person and lean on that person, because they're operating at a high level as your mentor. You just have to lean into that and really absorb the information that they're willing to give out. Second thing, know your strengths. I talked about a couple of my strengths, but one of the things that really helps when that imposter syndrome does set in is being able to take a realistic assessment of what your abilities are and what your strengths are, so that you can sort of rest your head on that and say, you know what, these are the things that I'm really good at. How can I put them to good use? And how can I lean on those strengths when I'm going for this new role or this new position or this different responsibility, whatever it may be? Maybe you're someone in the department who does a really, really great job at instrument inspection, and you want to be that person that trains new employees on that specific task. That's valuable. That's something that's really important. That's a skill set that needs to be learned by new employees. And if you consider yourself an expert on that, folks can vouch for you, and you want that responsibility, why not ask for it? My guess is your manager might be pretty excited about that. So know your strengths, find a mentor, know your strengths. And finally, push yourself to act before you're ready. That's honestly something that I've done many, many times, is just do it anyway. When you're fearful, when you have these feelings of self-doubt, take a step anyway and just say, you know what, we're going to go for it. People with imposter feelings have to reframe the way they think about their achievements. And so part of reframing those things is just taking a leap. Easier said than done, mind you. I know that, but it's valuable anyway to just trust yourself enough to just do it anyway.
You know, breaking through that wall always makes me think of the Kool-Aid Man commercials back in the 80s. But that's really what it is, right? You've just gotta go ahead and power through it with optimism and make it happen. And I'll never forget that commercial. I'm sure there's a ton of people that this does not resonate with. You know, it's a great way to view tackling these obstacles that you would think, you know, are insurmountable, or you can never break through that wall. So,
right.
Lindsay, we're so happy to have you on the team. Your energy and enthusiasm is such a great match. And as we've talked about all along, you're an educator, right? And so we said at the beginning, educating with passion is so critical to getting the message across. And you've done a fantastic job in this interview. So thank you.
Thank you. Absolutely. It's always a pleasure. And I am very excited to be on the team. Thank you so much.
That was Lindsay Brown, VP of Sales and Marketing for Beyond Clean. And Mike, this whole concept of imposter syndrome, something I had never even heard of until I saw the outline for this podcast. But then when I went and read it, I think it might surprise people how prevalent it is. And I realized she said that it's not an actual diagnosis, but it's definitely a condition that people experience. And I remember as I was finally having some success and really pushing myself out of my comfort zone, I remember experiencing those same feelings of self-doubt and thinking to myself, you know, I'm really just mimicking what other people do. I'm not bringing anything unique to the table. But I think that really goes back to the whole conversation we were having, which is it's going to take an army. Every single one of us has to just do a little bit and bring something unique and energetic to the table for this whole industry to get lifted up. And if that helps anybody, as well as the three strategies that Lindsay brought to the table, if that helps anybody kind of leapfrog that and really bring their expertise, especially as they continue to learn. Because if there's one thing I know about this industry, you literally never stop learning. There's never a week that goes by that somebody doesn't teach me something I didn't know before.
Yeah, and I mean, those strategies are really critical, because that type of self-doubt can be absolutely derailing to, you know, a potential superstar's career path, you know, that they start getting some advancement, and then all of a sudden, you know, these self-doubts hit and there's nobody to talk them through it. They don't know what it is. They don't have any strategies to compensate. And consequently, they end up saying, well, maybe I don't have anything to bring. Maybe I'm not bringing anything unique. Maybe I should just stay where I'm at. And then boom, right then, that's, you know, where the industry itself is weaker as a whole, because one person, you know, and it's not just one person, it's a lot of people. This is going on where they're not able to continue to grow and then be one of those voices that helps propel the industry forward. And so I think this is really important for a lot of technicians, particularly younger people who are moving into this new industry and they are growing and they are learning. They need the skills to be able to overcome the obstacles that are inevitably going to come their way. And so I think this is perfect.
One of the very simplest of ways that I think you can contribute to the growth of the industry in general is to just ask questions. I think imposter syndrome a lot of the times comes from a place of expecting yourself, now that you've had a modicum of success, is to think that you now have to have all the answers, and you never will. So if you focus on just asking questions to further the conversation, I promise you, you are driving the industry forward. That's going to do it for this week's show. As a reminder, you can help support us by subscribing to Beyond Clean on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and Spotify. Simply search for Beyond Clean Podcast. We'd certainly appreciate a rating and a review, because your feedback is important to the show. And if you have any topics that you'd like us to cover on a future episode, or if you'd like to share a picture anonymously on our Instagram page, just send an email to info@beyondclean.net. On behalf of Mike and myself, thank you for listening to another edition of Beyond Clean.
Classy.